have for pregnant and parenting teens called Stepping Stones. Just to show you a little bit about where we are, Cabarrus County is just north of Mecklenburg County, where Charlotte is. Charlotte's the biggest city in North Carolina. Over to the right, you can see Raleigh, which is our capital, and then two little counties over is Chapel Hill, which most people around here have heard of. And all the way to the right is the Atlantic Ocean. The Cabarrus Health Alliance is the agency where I work, and formerly it was the Cabarrus County Health Department. Until 1997, when our health director and now CEO made a strategic decision for us to become a public health hospital authority, actually, is what we became. And the main reason that he decided to do that was to be able to expand programs to better serve our community. Prior to that, we were tied to local county government, and if we generated any money in any of our programs, they went into the county bin or coffer, so to speak, and we were not able to use them for the good of the community. And so that was one of the main reasons that he came up with the system that he came up with, and that we were granted that. So we're currently governed by a 7-member board of directors, different representatives from the community. And because we're separate from local government, we're afforded greater autonomy, but we do still provide basic public health services like environmental health and immunizations, communicable disease control, and we also have clinical services. We have maternity program, family planning, and a pretty huge pediatric practice. And this decision also really maximized community collaboration. We are able to work with partners to enhance programs, and we really tend to build on community assets, things that are already being done rather than, you know, starting things over again. A little bit about what our community looks like. We're about 158,000. Our huge population growth was between 1990 and 2000. You can see it was 32.5%, and it outpaced the state's growth at that time by 12%. Currently, it's about 82% white, 12% African American. And the growth of the number of uninsured and Medicaid population is outpacing the growth in the overall population. And I'm not sure if it's coincidentally, but in that same time frame, 1990 to 2000, our Latino population increased 1,200%. So that's when we had a really huge influx of Latina immigrants. Cabarrus County is a very proud community. It's a tight-knit community, and it was very closely tied with textile manufacturing for generations. Sadly, the last textile manufacturing plant closed in 2003, and within one day, over 3,000 people lost their jobs, so that was a really big deal in our community. A couple more statistics. In 2001-2005, the overall infant mortality rate in Cabarrus County was 7.4, and in North Carolina it was 8.5. Unfortunately, like the rest of the country, the African American rate is 17.1 as opposed to the white rate, which is 5.6. Also, in the same time frame, at the end of the decade, around 2000, we started looking at the increase of reports of abuse and neglect, and also the amount of substantiated reports. Now, our population had just grown a huge amount, so that wouldn't be very surprising, but it was something that we really wanted to look at, because as in 2001 to 2005, in the time frame before that, most of the reports involved children in zero to age six, and it was just something that we really wanted to look at. Okay. Although our teen pregnancy rate has remained steadily comparable to the state average and sometimes a little bit lower, we did start to notice at the same time frame some real problems with our teens that were getting pregnant. First of all, and this again is not unusual for teens, they seek very late prenatal care. They live in a denial world. They're afraid to tell people. Many of them, you know, don't even realize that they're pregnant at most times. But the recognition of the need for prenatal care and consistent prenatal care was just not there. And we also started to kind of look at the increased potential for abuse and neglect in the teen parenting population. Our teens that were pregnant and choosing to continue their pregnancy, which was the majority of them, were also keeping their babies. They were not placing them, and so they were going to be parenting teens. And there's definitely a correlation with the increased potential for abuse and neglect in the teen parenting population. So our agency decided to tackle these problems in this vulnerable population of pregnant and parenting teens. And I'd just like to spend the next few minutes looking at these objectives and sharing with you what we did in our agency and in our community to address the issue of pregnant and parenting adolescents and teens, our approach to the problem, the targeted population, our community collaborations, and an evaluation or just a little summary of where we've come. We've already touched a little bit about the problem identification already, the trend of late or lack of consistent prenatal care in adolescent and teenage population, as well as the increased potential for abuse and neglect of their young children. So our target population became first-time pregnant and parenting teens, and obviously these are teens everywhere have these same problems. They lack support a lot of times. They lack parenting skills. A lot of times pregnant teens have negative role models, which contribute to the other two factors. And we really talked about breaking this cycle. Overwhelmingly, our teens then and our teens now are children of parents who are also teenagers. And so we really see that cycle. Additionally, the barriers that our teens experience are no different from what you have in your community. Transportation is an issue. Many of them, first of all, are not old enough to drive. Second of all, even if they are able to drive, they probably don't have a car, so they have issues with transportation to get to appointments. Money is an issue. Hopefully they're in school, either middle school or high school. If they are, they may have a part-time job, but it's a low-paying job, and many of them come from low-income households, although not all of our teens do. Housing can be an issue if a teen is put out once their parents discover they're pregnant. They're not old enough to apply for subsidized housing. They don't have, the means to get a lease or anything like that, and they tend to end up sort of transient in between friends' places. And child care, we anticipated, would be an issue it's an issue in accessibility for everybody, and we anticipated that it would be an issue with our teen parents as well. So the program that we developed at the Health Alliance to address all of these issues became the Stepping Stones Home Visiting Program. And the primary goals are teaching and encouraging behaviors that prevent child abuse and neglect, working with clients to establish a medical home, both for the pregnant mom and then for her child, and identifying and helping clients to identify and reach their own personal goals with emphasis on completing school and vocation. Since we're really all about community collaboration and not reinventing the wheel, we quickly identified a strong community partner with similar goals, and that's the Cabarrus County Partnership for Children. And who they are is the local agency that's responsible for carrying out North Carolina's Smart Start program. And if you've never heard of Smart Start, it is a nationally recognized early childhood initiative that we have in North Carolina, and it's designed to ensure that young children enter school healthy and ready to succeed. And it's a public-private initiative that provides early education funding through grants and programs of its own. So we were able to apply for a grant that initially funded our program and still to this day funds part of our program. And some of the other collaborative partners that we identified are County Department of Social Services, and we receive referrals from them. We also are able to work with them. They have had parenting classes already in place, so that was something that we didn't have to come up with on our own. They've been a great resource for child care resources and also for helping provide subsidy for daycare for our moms. The school system social workers, they provide referrals, assistance in accessing to clients. Many of our clients have difficult home situations, and the school social workers, we've worked really collaboratively with them on those kind of issues. and also our own school nurse program. Our agency places a school nurse in every single school within the county. We have two school systems, and we have 38 school nurses. And so the middle schools and high schools that our moms attend, the school nurses are able to work very closely with the Stepping Stones nurses, first of all, in referrals, and again, with accessing clients, and sometimes collaborating for medical appointments and treatment when that's necessary. See, our program is based on intensive home visits, and they're made by experienced, specially trained, registered nurses. Each visit is focused, and it's designed to engage the teen. And while most visits take place in the client's home, they can also occur in other settings, a private, safe place at their school or in the community. A lot of times, again, home is not the best place. There's lots of distractions, sometimes lots going on, and it may not even be a safe place for the teen to meet, but that is another option. And there are a lot of very successful intensive home visiting models out there. I'm sure you all know about different ones that utilize nurses, social workers, early education specialists, and paraprofessionals. But the one that we settled on that really does work best for our community utilizes nurses. And the nurses really become the mentors for the girls I call them, for the pregnant and parenting moms, and a lot of times they are their main support system throughout their pregnancy, and while they have maintained a professional relationship with them, they don't become their friends, they really are able to guide them and support them throughout their whole pregnancy and as their new parents. This is a little bit what a schedule looks like. I put on there first individualized because it really is a very individualized kind of thing. And ideally, a pregnant adolescent or teen is identified early in their pregnancy, ideally. Once they are referred to the Stepping Stones program, they meet with a nurse in the program who lets them know exactly what the program entails. And it's a big commitment. And it's a big commitment if you're 14 years old and have a lot of other things going on. But they'll sign a contract and discuss the schedule of visits. And we receive referrals for our program from a lot of places, from DSS, I think I talked about earlier, from the WIC program, from our maternity clinics, from the pregnancy testing clinic, schools, friends of people who are in the program, siblings sometimes of people who are in the program, and self-referrals. And so the visits typically start out weekly, and they're 1 to 2 hours for the first 6 weeks, and then they sort of space out to biweekly. And then once the baby is born, they get very intensive again, and then space out. And we follow our babies until they're 2 years old. Again, this is a very general sort of schedule. Many, many clients require more visits than this. And there's also a lot of different activities that are offered at least quarterly. There's an activity that involves the entire group, all of the clients who are involved in the program. Most of them attend. It's a party of sorts, but there's always an educational focus, some kind of teaching going on. Also, we collaborate with a lot of other places for parenting classes, CPR classes. There's a father support group that's held with another agency, and also a teen support group with another agency. And this is the curriculum that's used. It's the Florida State University Center for Prevention and Early Intervention Policy, Partners for a Healthy Baby. It comes in a nice big shiny notebook, and that's what they use. The curriculum stresses some of these topics: early and consistent prenatal care, labor and childbirth, child development, especially with an emphasis on realistic expectations. That's something that we see as a big, big need with our teens. Importance of well-child checks and immunizations, and anticipatory guidance for parents. Let me just get back a second. This curriculum is structured, and it does use reading material. There's discussion topics and goal-setting exercises, and they have little homework things. They have worksheets, basically, that they work on in each visit and then things that they complete before the next visit. And family planning counseling also, another big important thing. One of the most effective teaching techniques that's employed by our nurses is modeling and role-playing. And they use these interactions with the teens, and they're able to show and tell things like proper safe sleep techniques, bathing, oral care, and feeding. And throughout the course, clients are provided with educational toys and books, as well as guidance regarding the importance of reading and play with their babies. And here's a little update about our program. We now have 3 full-time RNs and 1 full-time licensed clinical social worker and a half-time processing assistant. And the current caseload is 75. Each nurse has a full caseload of 25, and there's waiting lists. The LCSW, we just received a grant this past summer, and that was based on the overwhelming number of enrolled teens with major mental health issues. And so her caseload is within those 75, and it's enough to keep her busy full time. It's pretty amazing. And our program evaluation that was just completed at the end of our first quarter, which was at the end of September, looked like this. 100% of people were enrolled in a medical home. 100% had up-to-date immunizations. 70% of the moms were meeting their educational goals. And in 7 years of the program, we've had 1 substantiated case of neglect in this really high-risk population, which we feel is a really successful outcome. And there's my information. If you would like any information on our program, thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Are there any questions for Suzanne?
Yes.
Oh, sure. No, it's not free. Actually, all the nurses who carry out this program, they went there for a week-long training to utilize the curriculum. But you can Google it or whatever and, you know, come up with the information on it.
Okay. Just a question over here.
Yeah, a couple of questions. We have a lot of experience with paraprofessional
programs. And it is very difficult. They've really had to set some pretty strict guidelines because we do have a waiting list and because there are so many people who can benefit from the program. And I can't go into the exact details of how many missed appointments and things like that, but they really lay that out from the beginning. You know, we'll do this and we'll do this, but we won't do that. And so the attrition rate is relatively high. And, again, this population tends to be a bit transient. Once they move out of the county, then it's pretty much over. But I think that the expectations are there from the beginning, so that helps a little bit.
And one other follow-up, do you focus at all on school completion or staying in school?
Yeah, school completion is definitely the secondary goal. And actually, our third nurse that was added was funded from a different place in that she has her target population is the same, but that is her main goal from her funder is that they need to finish school and stay in school.
Yeah, do you have birth outcome data?
I don't. We do somewhere, but I don't have it with me.
Do you work with, do you specially select your neo-care providers?
That's a great question. We only have 3 private OBGYNs in our county and our clinic, so it's pretty small. And if the client is Medicaid eligible, they can typically choose any one of those. If they are not Medicaid eligible, then they pretty much come to us. So even if they are in one of the other providers, it's still a pretty small